Well, I've got a good word for you tonight. I'm excited about it. Just good news. Tonight, the passage that we're looking at out of Matthew chapter 6 is just one of the most joyous passages to look at. The entire sermon and message from God tonight is simply this: you don't have to worry. That's it. Good news, everyone. You can trust God. You don't have to worry anymore. And it's so exciting. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, section by section, piece by piece, but you're going to need to go home by yourself and just sit down and read the whole thing all together. Because as you've been with us from week to week, there are some harder sections. There are some passages that just dig into you because they confront the sins that are in the hearts of all of us. There are sections where you wonder if you really make the cut. There are sections that are difficult to follow after. There are hard commandments of Christ, and then you get to a section like tonight, and Jesus gives another commandment, and the commandment is, don't worry. And it's such a delight to follow this commandment. It's such a joy that we can trust our God all the time. So we're just going to look at it and rejoice tonight. That's all. We're simply going to rejoice in the Lord because of what Christ says tonight. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I'll be reading out of the Pew Bible. If you'd like to follow along in one, it's page 787. If you're in your own Bible, that is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We will finish chapter 6 tonight, and then we'll be well on our way as we come back after homecoming next week in 2 weeks and finish off chapter 7 of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Before we move along, let me pray for us, and let's read Scripture together. Father God, it is a joy to trust you and not to worry about our lives. So, Father, as we read these words again, as we read these words for perhaps the 100th time, as we take these words and carve them into our hearts and our minds, as we take these words and put them on our doorways and cross-stitch them onto things, Father, as we take these words of yours and more than anything else, take them seriously and trust you. I pray that you would see our work to trust you and not to worry as worship tonight. This I pray in your name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows these things, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." The word of the Lord. Do not worry, it says. And Christ gives us two reasons not to worry. First of all, he says, don't worry because don't you see how God provides even for the critters? Weren't you surprised as a child to discover that things kind of work out and life goes on without your efforts? I mean, did you ever wonder where all these bugs were coming from as a child? Unfortunately, the bugs. But then, you know, some of the prettier critters that you like out there in the world, the birds and such, you say, wow, that's amazing, they're still here. Hey, look, that one came back. As a child, I wondered, where was all this coming from? How is all this happening? Because I didn't do anything to make it happen. As a child, you can't realize anything outside of yourself and the things that you do. And you grow up as an adult and realize the beauty of seeing migration patterns of birds as they cross continents in their season and do just fine on their own that way. animals that go into hibernation for months and then come back out to life. That everything is moving, that the earth is charged with the glory of God. And there's not a piece of it that He doesn't oversee and provide for and take care of. God is intimately a part of all things that He has created. He's not only powerful to create them, He sustains them all. This is the God we serve. And Jesus gives this first as a reason. He says, first of all, don't worry, because God's taking care of all that stuff. How much more is He going to provide for you and take care of you? And then Jesus gives a second reason. He says, also, don't worry, because it's not helpful to you. He says, which one of you can add a day to your life by worrying? A prayer that you might have prayed before, there's this certain prayer out there that you might have prayed yourself that God just doesn't answer. This is a prayer God does not answer. And the prayer is, Father God, please give me more control over my life. It's one that He doesn't answer. If your hope out there in Christ, if the power that you thought you'd receive in the Holy Spirit was to gain more control over your life, you're incorrect. That's not how that works. We trust God. He is in control over these things. Jesus says, which one of you can add a single day to your life by worrying about it? Which one of you can change even the smallest thing in your worry? See, the opposite of worrying about things is not having control over them. You're not going to receive that. The opposite of worrying about things for us is trusting Christ. It's trusting God. And you're going to have to get up daily and live your life trusting that He is just as good as He says He is. We're going to have to get up daily in our lives to believe that He loves us just as much as He says He loves us. We're going to have to, if we're going to walk forward at all and continue on in this life, as crazy as things are, as bizarre as some circumstances happen and difficulties just come into our life all the time, the only way we're going to make it through is to wake up in the morning and again trust that God is just as near to us as He says He is. I'll tell you this. If Christ did not allow the cross to keep us away from Him, if Christ did not stop at dying on a cross for our sins in order to have a relationship with us, in order to draw us near to Him, then there's no circumstance in your life either that will keep Him from drawing you close to Him. Good news again tonight, church. You don't have to worry. God's got it. There's something you are going to have to notice in this passage. There's a difficult spot in here. The difficult spot is, what happens to all those pieces of grass that God provides for? What happens to all those critters and everything? They pass away. It's not to say that, you know, the birds have it sweet. I mean, we do, the birds, but it's not to say that the birds have it sweet. I have friends who are into falconry. Anybody? You guys, anybody a redneck enough to be excited about, you know, having a hawk? About, you know, hunting with hawk. I have friends who are pastors back in Texas who are into falconry. And so they'll go and they'll catch a hawk. They're always a wild animal. They never become domesticated. You go and catch this hawk or falcon, and you just simply train it to know that you're a really easy source of food for it. And it'll just hang out by you while you go walk through the woods and get all the critters scurried up so that the hawk can grab one. And that's falconry. And then someday, when you're finished, you take that same bird that was wild when you captured it, and you just toss it back in the air and walk off. And it sees that the easy source of food went away, and it just goes back to hunting like it was before you came into its life. That's falconry. Did you know, red-tailed hawk? Do you guys have red-tailed hawk here in South Carolina? That's a pretty common one all the way across the South. That was what we had in Texas. They were everywhere. The life expectancy of a red-tailed hawk in the wild, it's about 2 years. The life expectancy of a red-tailed hawk in captivity is about 20 years. It's not like it's easy going out there in the world for a hawk on its own. In fact, to be captured into captivity is kind of like hitting the jackpot for it. It is hard on critters. It is hard out there, and it is hard for us. That God provides what they need, that God will provide what you need, that you do not have to worry, does not mean hard times do not come into our life. They do frequently. It does not mean that we won't be stricken with grief, that we won't have to mourn in our lives. But it means that we don't mourn as people who don't have hope. It means that even when difficult times do come into our life, we don't have to worry about them because we know that God's in control. We don't have to worry about anything in our lives, even if it gets difficult, because we know that Christ will return and set it right. We know that He's already conquered death. So what do we have to fear? See, if you're in Christ, and He's already risen from the grave, and His promise is that we will do the same someday when He returns, then what do we have to fear? We still go through suffering. We still go through difficulty. We still walk a hard path in following Christ. But we don't have to worry about our lives. We know that God will provide what we need, that God will still be our God and trustworthy at the end of the day, every day. One of the greatest examples of this is George Mueller. You may know George Mueller. He was a British man. He established lots of orphanages, and he started very small. He and his wife, it sounds small. Even the beginning kind of sounds big to me. It started off with he and his wife wanting to just bring in 30 girls, orphan girls, into their home. But 30 into their home. And that's, I'd say, start with a smaller, you know, let's bite off a little bit smaller chunk first. They start off with 30. They begin taking in these children into their house. Before long, it's 130. And as growth continues, this is 1845, as growth continues, the neighbors started to complain about the disruption of the public utilities, as that might do, and about the noise. And so Mueller decided to build a separate building dedicated to housing 300 children. And by 1849, he did. He created an orphanage building that housed 300 children. Within a few years, there were 6 buildings to house that many children. In his life, he personally cared for well over 10,000 orphans. He created 117 schools that educated 120,000 children. The thing that George Mueller is best known for is not caring for these legions of children. The thing he's known for is that he never asked for money or donations, not once. I'm not saying that Christian charities today should do this, but this was the faith of George Mueller. He didn't just believe that God would answer his prayers. He believed that God would answer his prayers to the degree that he didn't even need to ask anyone else. So he never did. Ridiculous sums of money, hundreds of thousands of pounds, British pounds, pounds sterling would come in, well over $1 million in his lifetime to pay for all these things. There are well-documented circumstances that happened with several other adults around where they had nothing. There was no food for the orphans that day, but they'd go ahead and pray for it, and then it would arrive. Just like that, God would provide and would fulfill these scriptures. One morning, there was nothing to eat for breakfast. He sat with the orphans. They all came up to their table in the cafeteria, and he said grace. He prayed for their food, even though there was none. And again, the true story that happens is, as he's finishing praying, there's a knock on the door, and the baker comes and says, I did entirely too much of an order. Here's enough bread for everyone, and feeds all the children. What's more, the milk guy's cart breaks down outside of the orphanage. he can't take the milk any further, and so, well, we've got to use it because it's spoiling. And brings in milk for all of the kids. He would simply pray and trust God. There was never a time for worry in his life. And so he did these great things. But I tell you, it's not George Mueller that was great. It was the God that he trusted who was great. And that God is our God. Congregation, I say to you again tonight, don't worry. God provides for us. Even when the times are difficult in your life, you don't have to worry. Because Christ sees it and He knows our needs even before we ask. So ask. There's one thing more than any that Talitha Baptist Church needs to be marked by, and that is by being a church that prays. By being a church that is so devoted and trusting God that it is always at prayer. That we individually as families are in prayer all the time, bringing our requests and our needs to God. That we congregationally are always together bringing our requests towards God. Such ought to be our trust, that the first step is always going to Him and asking Him to provide anything that we need. This is one of those commandments that I'll be bold enough to say, test Him on this. Try it. Try these words on for you and see how they work out in your life. See if you go to God and ask that He make the basic provisions for your family. Go to Him and say, Father God, would you provide the things that we need even for today? And see if He does not do it. This is what our God delights to do, to provide for us always. Congregation, trust God. Some of you will need to trust God by going off on mission for the first time this year, whether it be Boston or Nicaragua, or even just going to share gospel by doing some face paint evangelism at the fair soon. Perhaps even by just going next door and meeting new neighbors and inviting them to church and praying over them. Some of you will need to trust God by stepping out like this. As I've taken many students on different kinds of trips all over the world, we developed a thing we call the roller coaster smile. And it goes like this. I didn't care for roller coasters when Meredith and I first got married. Who likes roller coasters? What's the deal with that? The carts are always made for people who are like 5'8". I never fit in them. That little bar comes down on my knees, and then I'm in a tiny little cart made for a tiny little person swung around on a track. It was never terrifying. It was just never fun either. Who wants to do that sort of thing for fun? Meredith Bird does. So, all right, that's our thing. Before we have children, we get Six Flags season passes. She wants to go to Six Flags. All right, that'll be our family thing together. I said, sure, Meredith, I'll ride anything you want to ride. So I'd go and sit in a roller coaster and ride it with her. And then I'd go sit in another roller coaster and ride it with her. And every time I'd just put on my roller coaster smile, which was, you know, you have one of these? Develop a roller coaster smile in your life. Hey, what is it you want me to do, God? That's terrifying. But okay. And get yourself a roller coaster smile. We'd talk about this with students as we'd be going and doing things that were way out of their comfort zone on missions. I remember one time we were walking through Santa Fe, and downtown Santa Fe, we were at a retirement community, sharing the gospel with some shut-ins, some people who live there at the retirement community, and one lady, an older Jewish woman, who we shared gospel with, and you know, she wasn't particularly interested, but she did like that there were some sweet children there. She said, well, come with me and let's go feed the prairie dogs. There's a prairie dog farm close by. And I said, sure, let's go do it. And so we go, and we walk out of the retirement community and turn down this alley, and it's getting a little sketchy. As we go down this way, and the worship pastor's daughter from that church was standing next to me, and she goes, I've got my roller coaster smile on. And then just after that, she got to walk by, and we walked back. We made it back safely. And as we came back safely, she got to pray with this lady who was just in tears that this child would care about her and say, what's in your life? I'm going to ask my God to provide for you. And just prayed for her. Congregation, develop a roller coaster smile. If God's calling you out of your comfort zone, then follow Him. He will provide what you need. It doesn't matter what. However big you're thinking that thing is that He wants you to do, it's probably bigger. He's huge, this God of ours. And He works great miracles with anyone who will trust Him. Put the smile on, take a step out, and trust God, because He will provide what you need every day. Let's pray. Father God, I am amazed at the way that you have provided for your people over time. I am amazed at the work that you did through George Mueller. And I am delighted that you even hear me when I pray to you. Father God, I pray that Talitha Baptist Church, that we here tonight, could just be a small part of a big salvation you work in this area. I pray that we would get to be a part of sharing the gospel with other people, that there would be so many more people in heaven because of the witness that we had. Father God, show us a big vision for our lives, for our families, for our neighborhoods, and help us to trust you and not to worry at all. And these things I pray in your name. Amen.